You know, Derek, you and I have been through a lot together.
Are you breaking up with me?
No. This, as we begin this, the fifth full season of the Cheaters Never Win podcast, we have a lot to look back on to see what has happened while we've been behind these two mics.
Okay. I think I see where you're going now, and I like it. Doing a little trip down memory lane.
But, well, kind of potentially. I think tonight we're going to talk not only about what it is as we begin to get ready for this upcoming Carolina Hurricane season, but I think it's important that we talk about what it is to be a Caniac, be a member of Caniac Nation itself. And a little bit earlier, you and I had a chance to talk with the newest member of Caniac Nation.
Mm-hmm. Carl Landra, you may know him better as the host of the Fourth Line podcast over wherever podcasts are found and on Twitter at the Fourth Line podcast. He was looking for a new bandwagon team to support. He was choosing between the Canes, the Blue Jackets, the Canucks.
Maybe the Ducks.
Oh, the Ducks, not the Canucks. No. Dear God, no one's on their bandwagon.
No one likes Vancouver.
Just shoot me in the head. But he made the right choice, and he has joined the Canes bandwagon at a wonderful time. And we talked to him about what he's going through as a new Canes fan, and it got us thinking, hey, what's the Canes fan experience all about?
So tonight, as we begin this, the fifth season of the Cheaters Never Win podcast, we're going to go down maybe a little bit down memory lane. We're going to talk about what it means to be a Caniac, how you become a Caniac. Once you become a Caniac, what are some things you should know and you should be aware of? We're going to talk to Carl about his new fandom. I think we're going to answer some cheat mail questions. I think we're going to review a beer, because what would Cheaters Never Win be without cheat mail and beer?
They are staples of a quality podcast.
Yes.
They're a complete part of this delicious podcast.
A complete part of this delicious podcast. I don't know if you know this, but when I don't know what to say, I often just repeat what you say, and that tends to work. It's worked for like four seasons, but now that I've pointed it out, people are going to make fun of me.
That's all right.
Thank you. I mean,
I got your back, Mike.
You got my back.
I got your back.
Okay, as long as you got my back, we can continue to do that and keep this bit going. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about the Canes 24-hour bike challenge that's coming up this weekend.
Oh, hell yeah.
We're going to talk about all sorts of fun stuff, and we're happy to be back behind the mics. It takes us a couple of weeks to get into the groove, so excuse us as we fumble over these buttons. So, Derek, would you do me a favor?
Yes, sir.
Would you hit the Y button?
The what?
The A button?
Something's not right.
Hit the damn X button.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, another fine product of Section 328.com. Here you'll find all the Hurricanes hockey talk, adult beverage reviews, and snark a growing body needs. Follow us on Twitter at Section_328. Respect the underscore. And now back to Derek and Mike.
And we could not be happier to be back behind these two mics. This week's episode of the podcast brought to you by...
A blank stare.
This podcast still available for the 2017-2018 season sponsorship. Still working through a few things. You know what we have secured for the season, though, Derek?
What is that, Mike?
I believe we've secured a food tailgate sponsor. I believe we may have secured a t-shirt tailgate sponsor.
Okay.
And potentially we've secured a local brewing tailgate sponsor.
Oh.
Which means once the Carolina Hurricanes get back to Raleigh on October 7th and we have that big opening season tailgate, you're going to be able to enjoy free food, free beer, and limited edition free tailgate t-shirts at the section328.com. Season kickoff tailgate?
This sounds delightful.
Oh my gosh, doesn't it?
This is all in pretty firm pencil at this point.
It is.
It is not in pen. It is not in stone tablet. And but things are looking good.
Derek hates when I talk about things.
I really do.
Yeah,
I don't like the jinx.
Derek's already uncomfortable.
Oh, well, that's when I wake up.
Derek, before we get into this, the becoming a Caniac edition of the Cheaters Never Win podcast, let's talk a little bit about what has happened since the last time we were behind these mics. Anything of note?
Yeah, two things.
Okay.
I think
I've got them both.
Okay.
One, Dom Luchaszewski's came on this podcast and was immediately fired by TSN.
Mm-hmm.
And
that is the 328 bump.
And two, we had some really good conversations with Down Goes Brown and Dave Lozo, and ViceSports.com basically completely shut down everything except their video.
I don't remember those conversations. Did you have those without me?
I did.
Oh, man.
By the way, you and I need to talk about the pink slip hanging in your locker after this podcast.
Oh, man. damn it, Mike. No, I know that we have signed at least one contract. I forget when we last did a podcast, so I forget if Jacob Slavin's deal was before we did our last podcast or after, but either way, that's a good thing. But I know for sure that the Brett Pesci contract has come since we last did a podcast. So we now have two additional cornerstone pieces of the Carolina Hurricanes blue line locked up for the next 7+ seasons, which does not suck.
And as we talk about become what it means to become a Caniac and how you can jump on and join in this year's Caniac bandwagon, those are two big, huge, gigantic pieces. I mean, when you are a young, burgeoning team who has a young offensive superstars, they're great, except when you lose every night 6-3.
Mm-hmm.
But when you've got a first pair like Brett Pesci and Jacob Slavin, who we know we're going to be able to count on as not only defensive shutdown specialist, but Jacob Slavin's backhand is going to be something that is going to give just every person just those beautiful, sweet dreams.
Is Slavin's backhand the new JR's pimp hand?
It may be. Ooh.
So Forslund was on today with Mike Maniscalco in David Glenn's stead, upgrade. And Forslund made the comparison that we've heard a couple times, but hearing it from Forslund gives it even more credibility. Kind of describing Slavin as having a lot of Lidstrom to his game.
Well, shut your filthy mouth.
Right?
Oh, my gosh. Like,
I will take that. If he ends up being just a poor man's Lidstrom, win.
Yes. I mean, Jacob Lidstrom was the perfect human.
Nicholas.
No. Jacob Lidstrom. From now on, we shall refer to him as Jacob.
Okay.
With two C's.
The second C stands for Lidstrom?
The second C stands for Lidstrom. No, I mean, you get that to look forward to. And Brett Pesci, could there be a better person to basically augment and support the rising superstar that is Jacob Slavin? I mean, Brett, not only does he, A, look like Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
But B, he's got a Randy Orton-like game, which means he is going to be consistent. He's never going to be as great as you want him to be, but there's going to be those times where just out of nowhere, you're going to see something from him that you're like, oh my God, that was so great.
And at his age, there's still plenty of time for him to be a 13-time world champion.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I'm in. Sign me up.
So all of that has happened since the last time we were behind these mics. Also, things that have happened. Leon Draisaitl is not
Ooh.
A Carolina Hurricane. But the
contract,
but though. The Edmonton Oilers have locked up, I believe, $21+ million a season
mm-hmm.
Between Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. So
and I think
good luck.
As much as we talked about offer sheet dry and all that, I don't know that I would have wanted to give up 4 first-round picks. That's a heavy price to pay.
But no, at eight and a half, that's not 4 first-round picks.
It's not?
No. You had to
Does
get
that
above,
kick in at 8-7 or something?
No, it was 9. You had to go like 9-2-5 or something like that.
For some reason,
as long as you were south of 9, you were fine. So that would have been
that was the first, second, and third.
Yeah, that would have been a first, second, and third. And
oh, yeah, done.
Yeah, I mean... That is a lot of money. So when you think the salary cap is going to be in that $70 million range for the foreseeable future, maybe $80 million. Once it gets to even $80 million, you have to have a team of basically 23
mm-hmm.
with scratches. You're going to have 25% of your annual salaries tied up in two players.
I think I saw, and somebody please look this up, correct me when/if I'm wrong here, but I believe that Edmonton has $60 million for starting next season tied up in 13 players.
I don't doubt that.
Goo. Because they have Lucic's bear of a contract. They've got Peter Cetera's contract out there.
Right.
They still have the Nuge on the hook. They've got Adam Larson to pay. Like, I mean, the Nuge is gone after this season, right?
Absolutely.
Gone. Once McDavid's new contract kicks in, he's
got to
go.
Right. Well, again, they've got to find different ways to do that. But again, I mean, they made the playoffs this past season. They looked phenomenal doing it. And we don't need to go too deep into that. We're again,
this is not the Edmonton salary cap podcast.
we're going to focus on what it means to be a Caniac. And I think this is a great point, Derek. One of the things that it means to be a Caniac is to focus on things you don't have, things that you missed out on, things that you've always wanted, things that you couldn't have. Like, I don't know, someone else's first line center by an RFA contract.
But we can't talk about responsible trades like getting Marcus Kruger.
Well, I was even going to say there, you know, if you saw Yahoo's alt history this summer, which was their August kind of series, a couple of guys we may know actually wrote an article on what it meant, what would it have meant if the Carolina Hurricanes had actually acquired Sergei Fedorov. And it's something that we've kind of lived in since the late 90s. As the burgeoning of the Carolina Hurricanes have come along, we've always wanted for that RFA. We actually tried to get that RFA, and it's never actually happened.
I wonder how much of it was Carmanos really tried to get Sergei Fedorov versus just give Ilitch the bird.
Yeah, I mean,
just obviously there was no love lost between those two men.
No. I think, Derek, I think there is no coincidence that this season upcoming will be the 20th anniversary season of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
But it is also the 20th anniversary of D-Generation X.
Go on.
I mean, is there any hockey relationship ever greater than Peter Carmanos and Mike Ilitch, where one guy basically looked at the other guy, took his hands, put them in an X formation above his pelvic area.
The crotchal region, I believe, is the scientific term.
And may have referred to him to inhale it.
That may be a bit of a stretch, Mike.
Really? I mean,
yeah.
Peter Carmanos isn't the type of guy to go, suck it.
I don't think so.
I think you underestimate IT negotiations.
That's true. You have broken down his public statements before as someone yes. who's kind of been in a similar industry. So I haven't been in the boardroom. Maybe that is a tactic.
I've never been in a meeting where I've had a CEO look at me and go, suck it. I felt like he said that to me.
It was implied.
Yeah, that it was exactly implied. But no, it's as we look at this, what it means to be a Caniac. Maybe the first thing we say is we've been to the top of the mountain, but we've been beaten down for so many years, the years we weren't at the top of the mountain. We're so used to not only being defensive and maybe making jokes that are slightly inappropriate that we become the punchline of, but it's
we
just...
We joke to cover the tears, Mike.
And that's where I'm going. We laugh through the tears. And maybe that's what it truly means to be a member of Caniac Nation, to be someone who can laugh through the tears, to enjoy the camaraderie like we do here
there
on this
go.
Podcast.
There you go.
Of folks who know the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Derek, tell me how we're going to overcome the pain this season.
Oh, it's simple, Mike. We won the offseason. Carl talks about it later. Yeah, you haven't seen?
No.
You haven't seen the news? We won the offseason. We're hanging a banner. It's like September Heisman's. We want off-season champs. Put
okay.
it on the board.
Tell me more.
I don't know if you know this, Mike. We got a new goalie.
Who? Who? Who's our new goalie? Eddie Lack?
Nope.
Anton Hudobin?
Nope.
Justin Peters?
God, no.
Mike Murphy?
Nope.
It's
Rob Zepp. Rob Zepp coming back from the German League and the stint with the Flyers. No, we got Scott Darling. Mike, you tweeted out this chart last night where it showed goalie performance. I forget what the metric was, but it's all goalies who saw at least 750 shots last year. And Scott Darling was the seventh best in the league.
What?
Cam Ward.
Wait. We have a goaltender currently residing on the Carolina Hurricanes that is not in the lower 20th percentile of statistical analysis.
Well, we have one who is. His name is Cam Ward.
Who?
As I heard from, I believe it was Mrs. Ombudsman's Twitter account, Cam Ward is the direction in which a puck goes in the net. Still one of my favorite tweets of the last 6 months.
Oh.
That puck went Cam Ward. Cam Ward was the worst in the league by a nautical mile on this chart. I mean, I think, I don't know who the second worst was, probably Andrei Pavlich, but he was leaps and bounds ahead of Cam Ward. Ouch. Compared to every other goalie. So that's good. Justin Williams is good. New contracts are good. Marcus Kruger gives us more depth. Dear God, Jay McClement's not on this team anymore.
Statistically, the worst National Hockey League player since Rob Zepp.
So it's going to be good. It, you know, when we talked to Carl earlier, some of my negativity kept creeping up, and we're talking about how things are going to disappoint him. But damn it, Mike, you said we're starting off the fifth season of this podcast. Let's start off the fifth season on a positive note. This team is going to be good this year. Will they be playoff good? That's to be determined. But entering the year with some more confidence in who we have and more real NHL bodies and not penciling in an AHLer to the third line because we have to, it's fantastic.
It's beautiful. I mean, when you look at the depth of this team, you've got... I saw a statistic today, Derek, and as we talk about, again, coming back to the theme, how to be a Caniac. If I were to ask you, Derek, who was the number one forward in the league in 5-on-5 goals, who would you say that person is?
Like, last season?
Last season.
I mean... You would have, I don't even know, Patrick Laine?
No, that would be Connor McDavid, I believe.
Hmm.
I may be off here, but I believe it was Connor McDavid with 32 goals. Who was second in 5-on-5 goals?
Because you're asking, I'm going to say Jeff Skinner.
Jeff Skinner was tied for second with some yuck named Sidney Crosby with 30 goals.
Hold on. They didn't have 35-on-5 goals.
Yes.
Skinner had 35-on-5 goals?
35-on-5 goals.
All right.
So Derek, I ask you this. Is Jeff Skinner elite? Is he elite? And by elite, I mean top 10 forward in this league.
No. He's not a top 10 forward in the league.
Is he a top 10 winger in this league?
It's close. I'm still going to say no, that he's not.
You're wrong, because he was the number 2 5-on-5 scoring winger.
There is more to hockey than goals. I don't know if you know that. I mean, it's pretty important. If you do
goals,
score goals, more goals.
Goals equal wins.
They do.
Right.
They do. I think I saw that NHL.com had him like 18th or something like that in their top 20 wingers. I may put him top 15, but to say top 10 wingers, that's pretty high. Even if he's 15th best winger, that means at the very least he would be the best winger on half the league.
So
and we're doing pretty well to have that.
So what you're saying is Jeff Skinner is elite. He may just not be Joe Flacco elite.
No, he is not a select bag of Tostitos.
So we've got Jeff Skinner.
A fact.
We have, as Ron Francis said this week, four second line centers.
Mm-hmm. That was the one statement that I kind of went, huh? Well, eh.
If Derek Ryan is the second line center on your team, God bless you.
Yeah.
But Jordan Staal, solid second line center. I think Victor Rask, solid second line center. Marcus Kruger, solid center.
Mm-hmm.
In your bottom pair. Bottom six, and the same for Derek Ryan.
Yeah, so the way I took that statement is I see exactly where he's going with that, and I think a lot of fans may go, well, wait a minute, isn't Jordan Staal a top line center? That your mileage may vary on that. I could see Jordan taking that as a bit of a knock, and I could see Kruger and Ryan seeing that as a vote of confidence.
I absolutely agree.
And Victor Rask, surprise, did not emote.
Oh, I love Victor Rask's emotions.
All of it?
All of them.
No, all of it.
All, all one of it.
Yeah, hey, I saw your range of emotion the other day.
I look at this team, and there's got to be some guys who continue to come forward. And we've said this year after year after year, and this is what it means to be a Caniac. Guys continue to get better because Zach Dalpe was going to get better, and Zach Boychuk was going to get better. But all of a sudden, we have guys, you know, Jeff Skinner was going to get better, but he didn't get better the next year. But a couple years later, he did. Mm-hmm. And now Jeff Skinner, while not Joe Flacco elite, still elite. We have guys like Sebastian Aho. We have Turbo. We have Elias Lindholm, who finally, as a longtime listener of this podcast, decided to take our beratings to heart and become the player we all hoped he would eventually be, and really became a force on the ice last year.
And I appreciate the shared credit, but you take credit for those beratings.
I do enjoy a good Elias Lindholm berating. And then there's guys like our client, who is never going to be an elite winger in this league, but makes this team better. There are guys on this team who consistently, when they're in the lineup, guys like, again, Brock McGinn and PDG, both seem to have a positive influence on the overall lineup. While they may not have a positive influence on the quality of the team, it seems like we win more with them in the lineup. And I just, as I look at this team, and I say that we have Jordan Staal, Victor Rask, Turbo, Aho, Skinner, Lindholm, and then a litany of others.
We keep forgetting Lee Stempniak.
Who?
Still, yeah, right?
Where is he playing this year? Las Vegas?
No, he is still here.
Really?
Yeah,
are
right?
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think Vegas took Enzo Amore from us. Can you name who Vegas drafted from the Canes right now? Don't look it up. Can you name who they took?
Brian Rodney.
No, it was not Brian Rodney. It was also not Tim Conboy. I don't know who it was.
Jerome Sampson?
Yeah.
Jacob McFlickier?
Braden something, probably.
Braden, I don't know.
They took Donovan McNabb.
Here's all I know. You take that young group of offensive talent, and you back them up with Justin Faulk, Noah Hanifin, Brett Pesce, Jacob Slavin, Trevor Van Riemsdyk?
I was like, TVR.
TVR, and then warm body to be named later. Hopefully that warm body is named Hayden Fleury and not named Klaus Dahlbeck, but we shall see. You know who it's not named?
Who?
Ryan Murphy.
Yes. That was a yes of both celebration and confirmation.
We don't do this a lot on this podcast. We're going to take a 5-second moment of silence for Ryan Murphy's career.
All right, that was enough.
Thank you. Ryan Murphy is no longer the guy who's going to be like, hey, this year he's going to come up and he's going to be good on the power play and we can count on him for 12 to 15 minutes a night. We don't have to worry about that anymore, Derek, because we have Trevor freaking Van Riemsdyk.
Ryan Murphy now gets to play with Eric Staal in the all-effort line.
Ryan Murphy and that. But you know who I feel sorry for in that? And I'm just going to do a quick aside. Poor Matt Cullen. Poor Matt Cullen, who has to watch Eric Staal lollygag himself.
Yeah,
back
he
to
wanted
the,
to go
back
play
to
back
bench.
In his home state.
I know. I loved Matt Cullen as a Carolina Hurricane and as a member of the St. Cloud State University. But Matt Cullen will be here on 10-7, and he'll be dead to me that night.
Yeah, and Canes, if you're listening now, there's still plenty of time to swap out Cullen's face for Eric Staal swap out Eric Staal for Matt Cullen on any kind of marketing materials that you may have not printed already.
Absolutely.
Please do that. Matt Cullen is dreamy. So, Mike, I know we've talked a lot about how to be a better Canes fan. We've talked about this upcoming season. What are some other things that we need to make sure that Canes fans know in preparation for the upcoming campaign?
Well, if you are a new Canes fan, you're listening to this podcast for the first time, A, thank you. But B, a couple of things. You need to pick a favorite player. We've mentioned a lot of good options, whether it be Jeff Skinner, and his, why should you pick Derek? If I were to ask you, why should I pick Jeff Skinner as my favorite player.
Do you like fun, Mike?
I do like fun.
I know you say that I don't like fun.
You do not like fun. That has been scientifically proven.
Oh, I do like fun, Mike. Damn it, I like fun. Jeff Skinner's fun. He smiles a lot. I'm convinced he subsists solely on chocolate milk.
Chalky milk.
Yeah. Oh, God, my apologies to...
If you liked fun, you'd know it's chalky milk.
Damn it, you and your science. So yeah, if you like smiles and you like chalky milk, you should like Jeff Skinner. Not to mention, he can shoot puck very good-like.
Also, people that you could choose as your favorite player, Scott Darling. If you are the type of person who enjoys, I don't know, a Lifetime movie or a comeback story, Scott Darling, if you read his Players Tribune article over the summer that talked about how he basically played his way up from basically leaving the University of Maine out of shape.
Playing a tiny town in Louisiana.
And just battled through substance abuse, basically alcohol, and really just fought his way back to his hometown team of the Chicago Blackhawks, and then won a championship with his hometown team, and now has the chance to be the focal point for the first time since basically he went to Maine as a freshman. To be the focal point of goaltending. If there were ever a guy to root for, it is Scott Darling.
And we had him on the podcast back in May. We've said it off the air. I think we may have said it on the air, Mike. One of the more personable hockey players we've spoken to.
Absolutely.
It was a very natural guy to talk to. He seemed like he's just genuinely excited for this opportunity, and it's hard not to be excited for him.
And you know, other guys who are on this team, you've got, you know, we talk a lot about the young defense. And I don't know if there could be two guys who are more different on the back end. We talk about the guy who is here on the wall in the Section 328 Worldwide Headquarters, Justin Faulk, number 27, number one in your hearts. Really happy-go-lucky guy. Seems like he's ready to join a fraternity at any minute. You know, just really, I don't know Justin personally, but as I see him and I hear his interviews and watch him on the ice, he seems like the epitome of everything that is cool bro culture. He's the guy I want to go have a beer with.
Yeah.
And then the complete antithesis of that is Jacob Slavin. Married guy, amazing wife, great family, very centered, very focused on his religious beliefs, but someone who wants to really just give back to the community. I'm not saying any one guy is better than the other, but if you are trying to figure out who's going to be your favorite player, I mean, you've got a guy on one side who is Justin Faulk, who is focused on just fishing and having fun and hanging out with his bros and filling up Ryan Murphy's car with peanuts. And then on the other side, you've got Jacob Slavin, who has a beautiful, you know, labradoodle and a great wife, Kylie, and just is, you know, all glory. And if you can't get behind one of those two guys, what are you doing loving sports? Mm-hmm. I mean, because they're both great people that could fulfill different places where you're empty inside your soul. I mean, Slavin, Aho.
If you like people with an elven appearance, Sebastian Aho is your guy.
If you like people who are supremely photogenic when petting puppies, Teuvo Teravainen is your dude. if you grew up watching Grey's Anatomy, and you think that Derek Ryan is everything that soccer-playing surgeon should have been, you're wrong.
If you lack journeyman wingers who could put up between 30 and 50 points in a season, you might be a Lee Stempniak fan.
There's so many things on this Carolina Hurricanes
team. Oh, we weren't
Hurricanes
doing full,
team.
Like, Lee or Jeff Foxworthy? I thought that's where we were going.
We could have been. So many options on this team. So many things to talk about, Derek. We could go through this. Why? As folks think about this and maybe get ready, Derek, and maybe I'll hit you with this one before we go to Carl.
Aight.
We've got the whole season to look forward to.
Truth.
But we are less than 2 months away from 10-7.
That sounds... Can you tell me that again?
We are less than 2 months away from opening night at the PNC Arena. What should... If you are a brand new Caniac, what should you be focused on? What should you be thinking about as you prepare for the first Carolina Hurricanes home opener as a person who has thoroughly supplanted their Tookus in the Caniac bandwagon?
So you've covered the players. We've covered the excitement. It's not a home opener without a tailgate, Mike. I mean, I think that is really an important part. It's, I know what you and I look forward to a bunch. Hell, we started off the non-intro part of this podcast with talking about what we may have lined up for tailgates. And I think that is critical. You've got 2 months now.
Less than two months.
My apologies. You've got less than 2 months. You also have college football season right around the corner. So more time to get your tailgate practice in for the things that really matter, like 10-7. So get your tailgating stuff all together. Make sure you have the right gear. If your tent's old and rusted, get a new tailgate tent, because when you're out there for a bunch of hours, you need to be shielded from the sun's harmful rays. Mike, you're pretty Irish, right?
Quite.
I'm pretty Irish. The sun, not so kind to the Irish. So make sure that's all said. But I think that's really important. We spend, I don't want to say far too much time, but a goodly amount of time prepping for these tailgates. So for me, that's what comes to mind. Mike, you probably have something different, or maybe you don't, but what's on your to-do list?
I think as you begin this, again, I think tailgate preparation is absolutely key. I think you need to be thinking about, you know, you've chosen your favorite player at this point. I think you need to figure out where you want your tickets inside PNC Arena to be.
I've thought about that a long time ago.
There's different regions. So we sit up in Section 328. We're kind of loud. We're kind of boisterous. We're kind of opinionated. We have a lot of fun up there. We're not for everybody. The good news is Section 328, based upon new season ticket people have come in, Section 328 filling up more and more day by day.
Mm-hmm.
But there, you know, maybe you like a little bit more relaxed environment. Maybe you don't want as much loudness. Maybe you want to sit in the fan zone. Maybe you want to sit downstairs with the pretty people.
So pretty.
So pretty. And sometimes prim and proper. Great people, great Caniacs. But, you know, sometimes you need to host a client. Maybe you need to be down in that sort of environment.
I've heard rumor that every seat in center ice in the 100 level comes with a Bluetooth speaker that is always playing Brahms.
Really?
I've heard that. I can't confirm it.
I cannot confirm it either, because they won't let us down there.
Prove me wrong, someone.
But, think about where you would like your season ticket or your partial season ticket or whatever ticket you choose. Think about where you want that to be.
That's important.
I would think about what you want your game day experience to be. You know, for us, it is a Saturday home opener, and we are already preparing to be out there for a 7 o'clock game by 9 a.m.
Woof.
We have already prepared what's going to be on the menu. We know that there are going to be darling dogs on the menu. We're not going to tell you what is a darling dog. You're going to have to come back.
An adorable puppy?
You're going to have to
not that darling dog. Okay, gotcha.
You're going to have to come back and figure out what is a darling dog. There's things, there's traditions. You have to figure out as a Caniac what traditions you want to be a part of. Are you going to be the type of person who stands up and chants "Cheaters never win" when the other team cheats? Are you going to be the type of person that shows up to a Section 328 tailgate and takes in all of it? Are you just going to show up at 6:15 and take part of the Jaeger Pass? Are you going to be the type of person who becomes a troll? Because guess what, Caniacs? We have plenty of trolls out there. But guess what? One of those trolls, and we all know who he is, will not be in the PNC Arena this year. And for that, we shall all be thankful.
Sounds good to me.
There's so many things that we have to get, but we have 2 months, Derek. We have to figure all of this out.
No, Mike, we have less than 2 months.
You're right.
Get it right.
And we're so excited. We want you to take this journey with us, but maybe more importantly, we want to help out the newest member of the Caniac Nation and make sure that his journey is a good one. And guys, we are happy, dare I say, ecstatic to welcome on the newest member of Caniac Nation to this week's episode of the Cheaters Never Win podcast. You may remember a few weeks ago, we visited Carl up in Calgary on the Fourth Line podcast as he was trying to figure out whose bandwagon do I preemptively jump on for this, the upcoming National Hockey League season. And Carl made a big announcement, but rather than Derek and I bearing the lead, Carl, why don't you tell the fine listeners of Cheaters Never Win what your decision was?
Well, obviously, I made the wise choice, and I have hopped on the Carolina Hurricanes bandwagon, a proud member now of Caniac Nation.
And Carl, we are very happy to have you. You are actually joining an elite club of Cheaters Never Win listeners who are up in the Great White North, and we are very happy to have you aboard. So we did our best to present a case. It appears to be a very good case that we made for you a few weeks back. But what has made you hop on the Canes bandwagon?
I like the fact that they're fun, they're young, and for a lot of people, when they're good this season, it'll be a surprise. And now I know, like you guys talked about on a previous episode, and we talked about it when you came on our show, to many people, the Canes won the offseason. So when you start putting out those kinds of statements, it's not as much of a surprise, but I think a lot of people will look at some of these players and say, you know, why are the Canes good? And they'll look at some of the depth on defense and some of those kinds of areas and say, oh, like, I had no idea that this is what made them good. So to me, I like the surprise. I like the youth. I like the fan base. I liked, you know, you were up against the Ducks and the Jackets, and certainly they have great fan bases as well. But the Canes Nation certainly made me feel welcome right off the hop.
Well, we are happy that you are here. So normally when we have guests on, we're peppering you with questions, but we're kind of going to turn the tables this evening as the newest member of Caniac Nation. And as Derek and I would like to be your host eventually one day here for a playoff game in Raleigh, we wanted to allow you. What questions do you have of us as you begin this journey into the National Hockey League season as a new Carolina Hurricanes fan? How can we help you?
Well, I think the biggest question that I have right off the hop, looking at the schedule today, I now had a second team to look out for. Usually I just look at the schedule and I'm like, when did the Avalanche come to town? Now I'm also looking, when are the Canes coming to town? They come bright and early in October. I don't know if you guys have really studied the schedule, have it memorized. You know, it's still a month and a half out. You got plenty of time. The Carolina Hurricanes, I believe it's August or October 14th, they come to Calgary.
That sounds about right. So, Carl, one thing that you'll need to know here is it is an annual tradition for the Hurricanes, whether we like it or not, that early in the season, they take, if not their longest, one of the longest road trips of the year. And that is because the state fair comes to North Carolina the middle of October. So some seasons we've actually haven't had any home games before the state fair. This season we have two, so at least these young guys will get a little bit of that under their belt. And I believe it's a six-game road trip that usually does take them out west. I know before we've done a bit of a California swing. Last year, though, I think it did take us up to Winnipeg and some of the other Canadian towns. This year, apparently we are coming to... Mike, I think you and I were having a little discussion about this earlier. Is it Calgary or is it Calgary?
It is Calgary. But from someone who actually lives in the province, Carl, if you'd like to support my thought that it is Calgary.
I'm sorry. It is 100% Calgary. As much as, yes, you know, you won me on getting on board with this. I can't have your back on this though. Sorry.
Mike Commodore says you're wrong, and he will be at your house in an Uber in 15 minutes to beat you up. So,
well, Carl is packing.
He is packing. So, yeah, Carl, knowing that the Carolina Hurricanes, and it's one of the things that you have to learn as a Carolina Hurricanes fan, is that we come into every season with a lot of hope. And then that hope is immediately dashed by the fact we have to take a two-game road trip because the PNC Arena...
About a two-week road trip.
I'm sorry, yeah, a two-week road trip is directly adjacent to the North Carolina State Fairgrounds. So the parking lot of the PNC Arena is then used for all of the yokels to come in and enjoy all sorts of fried debauchery and all sorts of livestock viewing and... That well, he's from Calgary. He understands it.
I'm 100% down with some livestock viewing and fried foods. That's right up my alley.
I know we're talking to an Albertan, and livestock and Alberta go together like livestock in North Carolina.
Yeah, like livestock in Alberta. You have to get used to basically. While we are very excited at the beginning of October, we are out of the playoff race and basically a complete dumpster fire by the time that the calendar turns to November 1st. And basically, at that point, you then have to prepare yourself for the 5-game. Cam Ward resurrection. Are you familiar with this?
I've owned Cam Ward on my fantasy team a few times, so I'm well aware of his stretches, but please do tell me more.
Derek?
Oh yeah, so first of all, my apologies that you've had Cam Ward on your fantasy team, unless this was in like the 2009-2010 season, in which case, bully to you.
He was my fourth goalie. It was fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay. You just needed to hit the games played minimum.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, it seems like just about every November, Cam Ward finds the fountain of youth and turns in a 5-game stretch that will then be lauded immediately by everyone, fans, media alike, but then will be held onto when he inevitably remembers that he is indeed Cam Ward and he is not a good starting goaltender in this league. So, that's another thing you have to look forward to. Mike and I believe, both realized that we kind of held these facts a little closer to the vest until we had won you over. Now that you're here, you get to see all of the ugliness and things that we've hidden in various attics and closets in Caniac Nation. So I hope we haven't scared you off too badly yet.
Well, and I'm like, you guys did lose for a reason. Like, I knew that there are reasons why the Canes were losing. It's not an unknown fact. So, definitely for me, I'm aware of this, but I want to ride that up curve and I want to get on it now and be part of it and enjoy it. But my question was, with the schedule, the Flames are coming to town. I shortly will be living right across from the Saddle Dome in Calgary.
The world's largest hyperbolic paraboloid, by the way.
Yeah, the one that will soon be vacant, apparently, if Gary Bettman has his way. So, move in there and look, and, you know, the Canes are coming to town bright and early in the season. What a better way to start the season. It's the Flames' mm-hmm. third home game. So, you know, right off the hop, get down there. How best can I represent Caniac Nation at a road game?
That is a great, great question. A couple of things you can do. One, don't be a butthole. We try to be good to the visiting or the local fans when we visit anywhere. We are Southern. We try to be polite. So, again, be on your bestest of behavior, as we know you will as a long tenured member of Caniac Nation. I think the second or third most longest tenured member from Alberta behind Chris Côté and
Bill Peters.
Well, Mike Commodore.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Bill Peters is here now. So,
all right.
Yeah, he's good. But... That would be number one. Number two, pick a favorite player to disappoint you. You need to, by that point in the season, you go, gosh, I'm really excited to see X. And not that we're going to put you on the spot, but we're going to put you on the spot. Which Carolina Hurricane player are you most excited to see when the Canes pull into Calgary?
Well, when they roll into Calgary, I'm probably going to be most excited for Mr. Aho. I want to... want to hop on the Aho train and see what he can do in person. So yeah, that would be, I guess, so I should just be prepared for him to disappoint me then.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be great to see Sebastian, because he is impish. He is lovable. He is full of enthusiasm. And if you've seen any of the off-season pictures of his training, our little baby boy is growing up. So I think that is someone you could be very excited to see. But just be aware when you're going, man, I'm really excited to see Sebastian Aho. That's going to be the game where somebody like Marcus Kruger scores 3 goals and basically has just like a career night.
Which I'm fine if that's the way it goes. You know, whoever the Flames are going to have Mike Smith in net quite likely. Like,
or could be Mr.
Eddie Lack.
Yeah,
could be.
Oh, come on. You and I both know Eddie Lack's in net that night.
That would be great. That would be the dream for. And I guess I do have to pick up the former Canes as part of this as well then.
Right. Well, so I would think as you're doing that, so be excited for Sebastian. Know that Kruger is probably going to go nuts. But you should probably have pregame tacos, but only finish half of your tacos, knowing that while tacos are good, you're ultimately going to be disappointed in the taco man. Just throwing that out there.
Which is fine, because then it's a win-win, right? If Eddie plays and he plays great, former Kane does well. As well, if he plays terribly, then the Canes win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is absolutely a good way to look at it. The other thing that Mike didn't mention is one thing you'll notice over the course of watching this season, so beyond just the one game, is there are guys who inexplicably just cause undue amounts of harm to the Carolina Hurricanes. We have noted Canes killers over the years.
Yes, noted Canes killers including
J.P. Dumont,
Danny Briere, that diving spearing piece of shit.
Tomas Plekanec.
And then there was also the history of our Bumpa Marty parties.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, go ahead.
So I don't know if it'll be a Backlund or somebody like that from Calgary will score a back-breaking goal.
Does Dennis Weidman still play for the Calgary Flames?
No, I don't believe. I think okay. He's a free agent. So
good. Because he consistently used his width against this team, and we could never get around him.
But I am realizing, and Carl, I hate to have hit you with such Debbie Downerisms. Mike and I are talking about the ways that the Canes will disappoint or someone will bring evil upon this team. We apparently have just suffered a lot of abuse at the hands of this team, particularly early in the season. So, Carl, we are going to need your optimism to help us reflect that, and we can just be a more uplifting fan base together.
And Derek, what I think we should help Carl with here, because I'm assuming, Carl, you're going to be in the Saddle Dome for this game.
Well, that's the hope. Yeah, I was going to try to make it happen.
All right. So as you're in the Saddle Dome for this game, I think obviously, you know, we don't do like a Go Canes Go chant because they do that in Toronto and they haven't won since the 60s. So no one really wants to replicate that. A solid Let's Go Canes chant. What I would do if I were you, and Carl, maybe we can help you out here. The Hurricanes traveling broadcasting crew is the best in the business. In the building that night will be the big rig himself, Mike Maniscalco. He is the former pregame host and now is on Fox Sports Carolina doing not only the pregame but also the in-game interviews. What you should try to do is you should try to find out where Mike Maniscalco is trying not to get ran over by a Zamboni in the lower bowl, and you should make friends with Mike Maniscalco. Because that is going to be a key to just a loving, beautiful friendship by one of the greatest hockey guys you will ever run into. Secondly, if I were you, every time Calgary decides that cheating is acceptable and they perform cheating and then the referee blows their whistle and they skate to center ice and they look into where the penalty box is and they explain what the penalty was. So for example, Johnny Gaudreau, 2 minutes, smallishness. After they go the dong dong or whatever music they do in the Calgary Saddle Dome, you then point at him in the penalty box and you yell, "Cheaters never win." It doesn't matter how many penalties happen against Calgary that night. You have to yell, "Cheaters never win," and they will feel shame. and they will feel so much shame during that 2 minutes, they will bring the entire morale of their team down, and the Carolina Hurricanes and Sebastian Aho will score a power play goal. If you, as the newest member of the Caniac Nation, have delivered Cheaters Never Win with enough forcefulness and enough gusto to bring down the Calgary Flames.
I like it. I can do that. I've got years of experience of cheering against the Flames, so I'll bring that with me. And always, as you mentioned, always treat them with respect, the fans, and the players, but more so the fans. So yeah, definitely going to do what I can. Cheaters Never Win, and eat some pregame tacos.
No,
it's go time.
That sounds fantastic. How else can we help you with your Canes fandom? Do you need any history questions about the team? Anything else that we can assist in your newfound support for our fine hockey team?
Well, so I guess a little history for myself. The first memory that I have, like explicit memory of the Canes, was the Cup run.
Mm-hmm.
I remember
at fondly,
as you should. At the time, I was living on the East Coast of Canada. We were on vacation. It was pouring rain. We were stuck inside, and I got to watch some masterful games against the Detroit Red Wings. And so for me, like that's where my history with the Canes starts. Obviously, I know them moving. Do you guys kind of just like ignore pre-Carolina history?
Well, as fans know, the guy who still today owns the team, yes. So I believe Brass Bonanza has been played once since we moved to Carolina.
It was played,
which is a shame.
It was played during Game 7 against Edmonton of the Stanley Cup Finals, and it is the only time Brass Bonanza has ever been played in Raleigh. Basically, Peter Kalmanos was treated so poorly in his eyes by the city of Hartford and the fans. He has done everything he can to distance that franchise from any bits of its history. So things like Brass Bonanza,
those beautiful sweaters,
anything positive that Kevin Dineen may have done, Mike Luit, Gordie Howe. You know, while the Whalers did retire Gordie Howe's number,
unofficially retired
here in Raleigh, but obviously not. So we are very much separated from the Whalers history, and it's a bit of a dividing point within Carolina fandom, because there are a lot of Hartford persons who are still quite bitter about that, and either choose to say the team doesn't exist or likes to revel in all of the downtimes that we've had, and at which point we just point to the 2006 banner and the fact that we don't have to play in them all. But that stuff somewhat doesn't exist under the Peter Kalmanos regime. But if Chuck Greenberg does get the opportunity to buy this team, I think there's a little bit of hopefulness that there may be some of those bridges that were burnt rebuilt. And maybe we hear Brass Bonanza played once again.
I could just imagine if we had Whalers jerseys.
Shut your whore mouth.
I will not. So, yeah, The fans enjoy it, Carl. The other thing is it's kind of a two-pronged thing. One, here in Raleigh, we do get a lot of transplants, particularly from the Northeast, and a lot of them have their existing fandom, whether it was their Rangers fans or Bruins fans or Flyers fans or whoever. They bring that with them, and the Hurricanes, for many of them, are a second favorite team, or they just come because they like to watch pro hockey. So they may have memories of the Whalers. There are a lot of fans down here who are just new to hockey and weren't following the game in, you know, the early to mid 1990s and prior. So the only memories they may have of the Whalers are, you know, throwing those alternate jerseys on while playing a game of EA Sports NHL.
Which happens every single time I play as or against the Hurricanes. It is a must.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's one of the better logos in the history of sports, in my opinion. And the color scheme was great. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun, but those new jerseys, those new Adidas jerseys, those are so sexy.
Yeah.
So sexy.
Yeah, they're not too bad.
So Carl, before we let you go, I think we've determined that your new favorite player is Sebastian Aho.
Strong choice.
Who is your favorite Carolina Hurricane of all time? This is something you need to, as a new fan, you have to basically decide upon, because again, something that will be highly debated among Caniacs, and you need to come strong with whatever your opinion is.
I had not thought of it until this point. Obviously, like, my default is, to me, the player that's defined the last decade, Eric Staal, and I don't think that's a bad choice, but
hey, we're out of time.
Yeah. We think that's an awful choice. Thanks for coming. No, go ahead, Carl. We're listening. We can talk you through this.
Yeah, let's work through, because like, for me, that's my default. That's the guy that I think of first. But then I start thinking back and looking at some of like the old Hurricanes players of yore, and I'm torn. Like, who are yours? Tell me yours, and then maybe you've persuaded me once. So let's see if you can do it again.
Well, Carl, if you were to go to section328.com during September, you'd actually be able to see a ranking of all almost 300 players who have ever played for the Carolina Hurricanes. And while we won't divulge who the last place player is, because there was extreme debate this year on the worst Carolina Hurricane ever, it has lived since the beginning of the list that Rod Brind'Amour, as the captain of the team who raised Lord Stanley's chalice, shall be the greatest Carolina Hurricane of all time. Now, there are many who would argue that Ron Francis rightfully owns that spot. There are going to be some of a younger generation who would point to Eric Staal. There are some people who are blind, deaf, and dumb who may say Cam Ward.
Well, they wouldn't say it if they were dumb.
Good point. Those are really kind of the three. And then there is this upcoming generation of guys like Jeff Skinner, who have the opportunity, should they ever raise Lord Stanley's chalice, to get into that upper echelon. But for myself, none will ever be better than 10. I think Ron Francis is a hockey legend. I think he is immortal, and the only player in the National Hockey League who may ever have been better than him was Rishot Jesus himself, Joe Sakic.
I don't know that I can go that strong with it, but in my eyes, Carl, there are a clear top two. It's Francis and Brind'Amour, for what they did for this team in different ways. Francis, after the team moved here, he came back as a free agent to the same organization and gave a lot of credibility for a market that really needed some credibility, and he was still a very good player for several years. Rod Brind'Amour came in and kept that great leadership going and was still a very good player for quite a while, and it was his leadership that brought us the cup in 06. So Brind'Amour is going to be number one. Francis is close second behind him to me. I can see why you would say Eric Staal, because I think it was like him, Joe Thornton, and Pekka Sedin that were the only players to have 70 points in however many consecutive seasons after the 05-06 or the 04-05 lockout. So yeah, Eric Staal has been a very good player, but watching him night in and night out for so many seasons, he had a lot of shifts off and nights off that just got really frustrating to this fan base. So it's hard for me to say that, but there are a lot of Canes fans who would agree with you that to them, Eric Staal is the greatest Hurricane of all time, but especially of the last 10 years. So I can't fault you for it. I just like to give people who, worship at the altar of Eric Staal a hard time.
That's a lot. So does the fact that Ron Francis is back with the organization to this day, like, solidify that? Because you mentioned Joe Sakic, and the fact that like the job he's doing at the Avalanche, much like Patrick Waugh's job with the Avalanche, is to me kind of tainted a little bit. Like, I have to try to forget Patrick Waugh as the coach and remember him as Patrick Waugh, the goaltender. I'm going to have to forget Joe Sakic, the GM, and remember him as Joe Sakic, the fantastic player. Is Ron Francis as GM, like, making you like him more, less, or just kind of he is what he was as a player and it'll never matter anything else?
I think it's going to be really hard for Ron. Again, you have to remember, Ron Francis was, when he retired, he was top five in points in National Hockey League history. Mm-hmm. You forget that he was at that echelon. He's since been passed, but he was number two on the all-time assists.
I think he still is.
No, no, no. I think he got passed.
In assists?
Maybe.
Either way.
But again, he was up there. So his playing, not only with what he did with Hartford, but then multiple Stanley Cups with Pittsburgh, and then bringing relevance back to Carolina and taking us on that 2002 run is stuff that'll never be forgotten. His acumen as a front office person has definitely kept him at the top of the list and not pushed him down. But I can see where Joe Sakic, the general manager, could have potentially tainted you on that. But here's your hope. Joe Sakic, the general manager, may trade Matt Duchene to your Carolina Hurricanes for a bag of practice pucks and a couple of second-round picks. And if that happens, bully for all of us, right?
Well, that was honestly part of the case that the Columbus Blue Jackets made in their pitch for me to jump on their bandwagon was Matt Duchene could end up here. And I was like, yeah, but he could also, I thought it was just as equal that he would end up here. So certainly, if I can still find a use for my Matt Duchene jersey, love it.
Yeah, the problem is just getting Joe Sakic to lower that price. So if you can put in a good word with him, then, you know, I think we're all winners.
Absolutely. Carl, I understand you're moving. You're getting closer to the Calgary Saddle Dome, so that way you can be closer to the Carolina Hurricanes when they are in town. We are very excited to have you here with us on the Caniac Nation bandwagon. Be thankful that you got a good seat, because we expect this bandwagon to fill up very quickly. And as basically the vice president now of the Carolina Hurricanes fan club in Central Canada, there is a tremendous weight upon your shoulders to carry this team through that October 14th game against the Calgary Flames. Anything you can do to potentially hamstring or cut the Achilles tendon of Johnny Gaudreau prior to the game is greatly appreciated on by Carolina Hurricanes, because, you know, if you cut the Achilles,
right in the middle of the backswing,
yeah, right in the middle of the backswing, never get through a ball, they'll always just push it right, and that'd be good. So, but at this point, there's a lot of pressure on you, Carl. We think you're the man for the job, and we could not be more excited to welcome you to our little family that is Caniac Nation.
Thank you guys very much. Like you mentioned, packing, moving, Caniac Nation means so much to me that quite literally I went, unpacked my computer, my recording equipment, set it up. This is the last thing that I have to do to get out of this house is put this stuff back away. So I have to make sure that my wife is still okay with the fact that I'm doing this right now. And so we'll see. Maybe I won't make it to October 14th. But that being said, very excited to be part of it. Excited to be, you know, part of such a great collection of fans, a great team, and certainly by October 14th, you know, I still have about 2 months left to figure out how exactly to celebrate that moment. Looking forward to it.
Well, we are looking forward to following along, and you can follow along with all of Carl's things. He is the Fourth Line Podcast over on Twitters. You can also find him on iTunes and where all reputable podcasts are distributed. Carl, we cannot say thank you enough for taking some time out of your big moving evening to join us here on Cheaters Never Win. And sir, officially, welcome to the Caniac Nation. Let's do the damn thing.
Love it. Let's do this.
All right, man. Thanks, Carl. Thanks to Carl for coming on all the way from Calgary, even though he doesn't know how to say the name of the city in which he currently resides.
See, I kept hearing you say Calgary, and I wasn't sure if you were just trying to push his buttons.
No, Calgary is incorrect. It is Calgary.
Okay.
I've spoken to Mike Commodore, who was all things Calgary.
Was he inebriated at the time?
Was he Mike Commodore?
Okay, because you said no, I was going to say, then you did not speak to Mike Commodore.
Derek, we could make this go along. Thank you guys for listening. This has been a long podcast, but we're a little bit out of practice. We haven't done this for a couple of weeks, and we're getting back in the groove. So thank you guys for listening. I think, Derek, we have something else that we generally do around this portion of the podcast. We talked to a guest. What's next?
I think you have a little jingle.
Would it go like, Gmail, gotta go get some Gmail?
All right, Mike, let me hit you with the first question here from Ye Oldie Cheat Mail. This comes to our goes to our buddy from up in Massachusetts, I believe he is, Ben Moser. How many "the Canes are looking good" pieces do I have to read before allowing myself to believe it?
Ben Moser, first and foremost, thank you for listening, sir. We really do appreciate it. Continue to fight the good fight. And how many pieces do you need to read that the Canes are going to be good? None. Because everyone is wrong. The Canes are not going to be good. The Canes are going to be great.
Ooh, I like it. My answer was going to be 9.
Okay.
9 pieces.
So somewhere between 0 and 9 is the correct answer.
Mm-hmm.
Derek, let me come to you with this one. This one from our good friend Al Hood. He is Al B. Hood over on the Twitters. Go after Pasternak, yes or no? David Pasternak was offered 6 years, $36 million by the Boston Bruins, and supposedly that contract is going a grand total of nowhere. 6x6 by David Pasternak, and that's not going to get it done.
For a winger, we need to give up the first, second, and a third at least for him. I'm going to say no.
Agreed. I think that is too much for David Pasternak. You know who I feel like David Pasternak? Meh. I feel about like him like I feel like Lars Eller. And for those of you who listen to this podcast, you know exactly how I feel about Lars Eller.
Sir, that is rough. This one from The Nation Dan. How can you sleep at night knowing you made Edmonton suffer for 10 long years?
I sleep well at night, Dan, because that Edmonton team had Chris Pronger. Chris Pronger kicks puppies. Chris Pronger hates children. Chris Pronger will not look at the solar eclipse that's coming up next week.
Actually, he will without glasses.
And Chris Pronger smells of elderberries. Chris Pronger, nigh. That is how I sleep.
And I'm going to go full Homer Simpson and say that I sleep in a big bed with my wife.
Oh, very nice. Derek, coming back to you, This one from our friend Dane Shookman. He is Lion Tamer 80 over on the Twitters. A friend new to the team asks, what's some Caniac fans traditions, e.g. the Panthers in football have the keep pounding drummers? So, Derek, this is a great question. What are some of the Caniac fan traditions?
We've got the siren, which I think there needs to be a more consistent application of the siren. I know we've talked to some of the marketing guys, and they do coach everyone, whether they are a celebrity or a fan or a local business magnate, on how to sound the siren effectively.
Right.
But there is a huge chasm in effectiveness of said siren. Sometimes it is woebegone. Other times it is boisterous. There needs to be some consistency, but that is one.
Okay.
I think another is the team has helped us out on this with the Cheaters Never Win. After penalties, that's been a lot of fun.
That is a lot of fun.
And I think a third is idiots doing the wave and the wise among us shitting on them for doing the wave.
Don't do the wave at a hockey game.
Don't do the wave ever.
You can do the wave at a Seattle Mariners game, because Seattle Mariners games in the early...
Is it the Kingdom still?
Yeah.
Is it the Kingdom?
In the late 80s were boring.
Okay. That'd be before Randy Johnson was killing doves.
And before Ken Griffey was hitting all of the home runs.
Yeah.
So, other traditions, tailgate. Don't come to the game. It's a 7 o'clock game. Don't show up at 6:45. Stroll into your seat, watch the game, and then leave at 9:45. Come enjoy the experience. Meet other people that are in the parking lot. Talk to fellow fans. Commiserate. Enjoy the entire game day experience. I think that is critical to being a Carolina Hurricanes fan. The other thing I would say is ignore the haters and make friends with your rival neighbors. And that almost goes hand in hand, because as a very transient area where folks who are very unfortunate to grow up in places like Pittsburgh and Buffalo, and folks who have thankfully escaped those awful, horrible places, they've made their way to Raleigh, and they may still have some of the brainwashing that they had when they grew up, and they may inadvertently be rooting for their hometown, what they say is their hometown team. If that was their hometown, they would still be able to make a living there. But be
deep.
Be nice to those people. Make friends with those people. Because while those people may have some glimmers of hope in their life, know that they had to leave their families to be able to support their families and make their way to Raleigh, which is a beautiful top 10 place in the country to live.
Well said. So this is the last question that I have for you, Mike.
This is
from Kevin Kohler at Kohler K08. The next jersey raised to the rafters is blank. And that's a question, not a statement, because raising a blank jersey would be weird.
It would be. The next, okay, can I say not jersey? Can I go off the board?
Sure.
Can I say the next banner raised to the rafters?
Ooh.
I say the next banner raised to the rafters is that of radio voice of the Carolina Hurricanes, Chuck Caton. Chuck Caton, current member of the National Hockey Broadcasters Association, been president of that fine organization since the years started with 19, which is quite some time ago. Chuck Caton and his microphone will be the next banner raised to the rafters. And I say Chuck Caton specifically because there is not a player that has retired since Rod Brind'Amour and Glenn Wesley who has earned the right to have their jersey raised to the rafters, because not a single one of them have taken us to a single playoff run.
I think you're exactly right. I'll stick with the jersey portion of the question, and begrudgingly, you know, we talked with Carl about it, and we don't think that he's the greatest Hurricane of all time. Not Carl, but Eric Staal. He's going to have his number retired here in all likelihood. I wouldn't, like, bet my house on it, but I think that's going to happen. So he's the next player if we're going to do one.
No. But Eric's the 10s. I mean the 12's not going to the rafters. No way.
You don't think so?
No. Okay. No. It's going to be a while before anyone else wears it. Derek, I'm going to go. This one's from at @zombie_buffet. Respect the underscore from Jay Swanson. With the recent loss of any hope for Leon Draisaitl, who shall we salivate over the prospect of getting next?
We can go back to Nathan MacKinnon, right?
That could be your answer.
Because I still want MacKinnon. He would be a number one center, so then we could have him and three number twos. Let's do that. Let's salivate over him. Because we wouldn't have to give up the equivalent of four first-round picks. Mike, you're shaking your head at me as if I have said something that offends your sensibilities.
Derek, Mike. there is but one man who shall replace Leon Draisaitl.
Who dat?
And he's not just a man. He's an experience. Derek, It is time.
Andre Palat?
It is time for all of Caniac Nation to begin focus on the 2018 free agent class, and that of a number one center who can come to an organization.
Oh, no.
Derek, I present unto you future Kane, the Jonathan Tavares experience.
Oh. So,
John Tavares, noted Hurricane killer, Jonathan Tavares comes to Raleigh, puts this team on his back, raises. Jonathan Tavares made Franz Nielsen a goddamn all-star.
Well, and here's the thing. The Islanders aren't going to make the playoffs this year, right?
No.
So they're not going to want him to walk if they can't get something.
He's walking.
If they can't get
something done, there's no way they trade JTE. And JTE is the Jonathan Tavares experience.
Oh, okay. You don't think there's any way they trade him at the deadline?
No way.
Really?
No way.
Okay.
No, it's not happening.
If they know he's going to walk, that you got to get something for him. You can't come back empty-handed. Yes, Mr. Flanagan, with your hand raised.
Who is the current general manager of the New York Islanders?
Is it still Garth Snow?
I believe everything you just said was invalidated by your current answer.
Oh, okay. You're right.
Derek, you may have missed this one. I have one last question. This one from our good friend Charlie Allen.
I did miss it.
Cheerwine or Sundrop?
Cheerwine.
I disagree.
Why? How?
Sundrop mixes better with booze. You right? No, you go.
Tupelo Honey does have a good drink called Cheerwine Anytime. It's Cheerwine and I believe bourbon.
It does, but Sundrop goes with bourbon and white liquor. You can't
I haven't had it with bourbon.
You can't mix white liquor with Sundrop and be taken seriously as an alcoholic, Derek.
That's true, but if you drink Sundrop on its own, somebody's going to say, "Ah, you came up a dollar short for Mountain Dew." Cheerwine is a taste all its own.
A draw.
A gentleman's agreement.
Gentleman's agreement. This is a draw. Is that Cheerwine or Sundrop in your glass, Derek?
Nah.
Please tell the fine folks what is in your glass this evening.
What is in my glass is something from Burial Beer Company out of Asheville, North Carolina. I have not had this one before, and I had ignored it because it is called the Tin Cup Camp Stout. And because of the campfire on it, I feared the fact that it may be a bit smoky. Boy, was I wrong. The side of the can says that this is a stout made from a seasonally selected counterculture coffee bean, a careful blend of barley and oats, a touch of milk sugar. And the sessionable stout is just the ticket to cure what ails you. This beer is delicious. It's no surprise that Burial knows how to make a really good stout with coffee in it that is just damn delicious. I don't know why I was afraid of the smoke. There really isn't any in here. You do get some coffee roast. And I have heaped praise upon the Skillet Donut Stout from Burial before. And while that beer is really hard to get, it only comes out in cans twice a year, and it's very rarely on tap in this market, this is a pretty decent substitute. It lacks that donut sweetness to it, and the roast on the coffee isn't as intense. But for a pretty, like, really easily sippable stout, this one comes in at a flat 5% alcohol. It's absolutely delicious, even on a muggy, balmy, hot summer day like today. I can still come inside and enjoy this stout because it doesn't sit too heavy. There's some really nice roast on it. I believe it does damn near pass the Mike Flanagan light can't get through it test. Mike?
Holding. No light escapes there.
All right.
There's a little bit around the edges, but light straight through the center, yeah. Thoroughly sucked in.
Yep. Really good beer. I think it was about $14 for a 4-pack of 16-ounce cans. So, you know, because it is a stout like this, it's something you're going to sip over the better part of an hour. So it's really not a bad deal at all. Like most everything from Burial, I cannot give it a higher recommendation. Go out, get this beer. And you're welcome.
I've had Burial. I know Burial. I love Burial. I have yet to find something made by Burial Brewing that is not absolute top notch. And were they to actually pay us to sponsor this podcast, we may actually give them their money back because their beer is so good. Probably not.
I bought 2 4-packs of Burial yesterday, so...
It's delicious, and we appreciate them for everything they do and all of the beers that they make. Derek, we have rambled on quite a long time. This may be the longest Cheaters Never Win ever.
It's right up there.
But we wanted to take some time and talk about what it means to be a Caniac, what it means to be part of Caniac Nation. We hope you enjoyed this episode. I will go out on a limb, though, and say you will enjoy our next episode infinitely more.
And that is no slight to Carl.
No slight to Carl. But on our next episode that is coming up in less than 2 weeks, we have the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes on Fox Sports Carolina, and dare we say the future voice of hockey in America, John Forslund, makes his annual appearance on Cheaters Never Win. He's going to spend a full hour with us. We're going to talk hockey. We're going to talk Carolina Hurricanes. We might talk a little Boston Red Sox hockey.
Baseball.
Or either one. We're definitely going to talk a little red wine, and we're going to talk John's experience with this in his last 20 years as a member of the Carolina Hurricanes in this, our 20th anniversary season. That episode will be out for some folks in 2 weeks and some folks in 3 weeks. And Derek, why do some folks get that episode sooner rather than later?
Well, Mike, I'm glad you asked. Because we appreciate all of our fans, but those who support us a little bit extra on Patreon, we want to make sure that they are well taken care of. So for folks who support us on Patreon for as little as $1 a month, you will get 1 week of exclusive access to the John Forslund podcast. Since this is not a time-sensitive podcast, we want to do a little bit something to reward those folks. So if you want that, head over to patreon.com/section328 or just go to section328.com. Click the support us on Patreon button, and we've got some other really great rewards there. You may have seen that we've increased the t-shirt count on Amazon lately. That is by design, because at some of the levels on Patreon, you can get 2 to up to 4 t-shirts a year of your choice. So check it out. We would very much appreciate your support there.
And we have all sorts of things planned for this year. Again, all of the new Patreon things, lots of new t-shirts coming your way, new sponsors. There's going to be a new podcast series that's coming, Derek, and I'm not gonna share it right now, but there
jinx that one?
There is going to be a special edition Carolina Hurricanes podcast of at least 8 episodes that is going to come to you this season that is going to be very different than Cheaters Never Win. It will include not only the two of us, but another voice here in the studio, and just a lot of fun. So we hope you will enjoy that. Continuing to expand our coverage. We have a new addition to the staff. We're very excited. UNC Chapel Hill School of Journalism graduate and Caniac extraordinaire Hannah Smith has joined the ranks of the Section 328 team. So
we now roll 10 deep.
So Hannah will be writing. JC will continue to bring his Puck and Sunshine. Dan will continue to review beers. Tom will continue to write articles that are not only insightful but long. Pat Clark will continue to bring you the greatest in not only prospects coverage but everything that Pat Clark does, because he's probably the smartest of all of us not named Oliver. And then, of course, there's Canalytics Oliver, who brings you all of that good, sweet, sexy analytics coverage.
And last but absolutely not least, your guide to all the emotions as a Canes fan, and a delightful dose of whimsy, Meg, better known as At Love and Hydrogen.
And do we even have to write anymore?
I like to.
Every now and then.
You have the gift of gab. I can sit at a keyboard pretty well, so that works out. The other new thing we have going on this year, you've may have seen us pimp it out a little bit. We're now sending out a weekly email.
Oh, yeah.
So that way you don't miss out on anything that goes on. What's that?
The name of that weekly email is called Over the Crossbar!
So
that was fun.
Sorry for your eardrums. Sign up for that. It's our pinned tweet. You can go to our homepage and scroll down to the bottom. But we'll send our latest blog posts, latest merch, latest podcasts, all that good stuff delivered straight to your inbox for free $99.
And if you don't know why it's called Over the Crossbar, we would highly encourage you to go search out the Stanley Cup final minute call from the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes, Chuck Caton. That will add some color to that. And that is your last bit as we tell you what it means to be a member of the Caniac Nation. Guys, this is our longest episode ever. To those of you who have listened all the way through, to those of you who have already stopped listening or fast-forwarded, hell with you. You're probably Cam Ward fans anyway.
Here is an unsavory comment about your family.
Guys, we can't say thank you enough. We are very excited to be back. It's going to be a great season at section328.com on the Cheaters Never Win podcast, and it's probably going to be even more fun in row C of section328.com. So, September's right around the corner. As you get ready for September and those preseason games, just remember, you want to say something to us, find us over on the Twitters. We are at section_328.
Respect the underscore.
You can find us at section328.com. We're on Snapchat. We're on Instagram. We're all sorts of places that we probably shouldn't be. But most importantly, we are on row C. Climb your way up the stairs. Come find us. One of us is the formerly fat guy. The other one's the tall, lanky guy who probably has bags under his eyes because he might have had a new baby by the time the Hurricanes drop the puck.
If I don't have a baby by the time they drop the puck, my wife is going to be in a lot of agony.
Lots. Speaking of lots of agony, Carolina hurricane season is right around the corner, y'all. Jesus, Mike. We are so happy to be back, and we are thankful that you are taking this season and this journey with us. But until then, and the next time is going to be with John Forslund. My name is Mike.
This is Derek.
And we are out of here.
Beyond!